Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Welcome. It's a wonderful turnout for such a hot evening and hot week. It's awesome. Awesome. Let's open with prayer and just welcome the Spirit of the Lord here tonight. God, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God, and grace in our lives, Lord. We welcome you here tonight, Holy Spirit, to come amongst us, Lord, and just fellowship with us, Lord, and to open our minds and our hearts, God, to hear and receive your word and apply your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together, Lord, as a fellowship tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that you give us some relief from this heat, as we know you can. And, Lord, we just give you all the glory for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight we are going to focus on a very, very short scripture. And I was kind of, As I was preparing, I'm there. Oh, but Danny kind of left off here and left this little bit at the end here. I'm there. Should I cover that and go into the next chapter, or should I maybe skip that and just move on to the next chapter? And the more I started to read it and study it, I'm there. Man, this little section of scripture is really, really robust. And there's a lot there to talk about. So Danny covered off on verses 1 through 21, and I'm going to do 22 through 27. And he talked about the Nazirite vow. And I've known a couple Nazirites in my day. So in my early walk with the Lord, there was this guy who was, you know, had these, you know, awesome dreadlocks, and just like he just, you know, there was just something about him, and as I got in conversation with him over the weeks, I would say, you know, what's up with this? You know, because he was a very serious guy, and he had just, you know, certain habits about him. I'm there, what's up? He said, well, I've taken the oath of a Nazirite. What's the oath of a Nazirite? I had no idea. And he just like explained to me, I'm there, that's pretty cool. I'm there, maybe I'll be a Nazirite. I mean, I had the long hair already, and I'm there, this could work out great. So there are still people out there today that are living, you know, as Nazirites with that commitment. So we know that this is a voluntary thing. That people did back then, that God was calling, and it was a commitment, you know, of their life. And there was visible things about this, like this guy had visible things that I could see. It's like, this is something's different about this guy. And that's part of what it is, you know. But they were not part of the priesthood. They were just everyday people who were consecrating themselves, you know, to God. And one little thing you can miss in here that I just love is this was applicable to men and women, right? Which was very, very uncommon for Hebrew times, especially ancient times. So that's really awesome, isn't it? It's like neat when you see those little nuggets in there. But, you know, they abstained from grape products, not just wine, but really anything with that. They didn't cut their hair. You know, they avoided contact with the dead. And we remember as we were going through Leviticus how important that. But it was for a temporary time. You know, it wasn't this permanent thing like the priesthood had. And then at the end of this, they would have a ceremony where they would shave their head and, you know, return to public. So it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty interesting and cool thing to research. And then we get into the end. It feels a little obscure how it goes into Aaron's blessing. But it's a very familiar scripture. In fact, it's you see it all referenced several other times in the Bible. In Ecclesiastics, Psalm, Luke, where the prayer of Zechariah, and 2 Corinthians, and certainly other, you know, more thematic aspects of it throughout the Bible. But it's the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And man, there is just a lot to unpack there. But this is like this poetic crescendo to the end of this chapter where, you know, God just got done releasing this. Here's what it means to be a Nazarite. And then it just ends with this idea of this blessing where, you know, he's going to bless you, which means he's going to provide for you. He's going to keep you, which means he's going to protect you. He's going to shine on you, which means his presence is there. He's going to be gracious towards us. That's his mercy. And he's going to give us peace. This is the shalom, that wholeness of all of that. So it helps us to kind of recenter after all of that and say, this is the power and the promise and the blessing that God wants to give his people. So let's start with 2024 with God's desire to bless. So it says, the Lord bless and keep you. This is a declaration of God's favor, his divine favor and his protection over us. You know, and this is something that, you know, we see time and time again in Scripture, and we've seen time and time again in these first few books of the Bible, is that God desires to protect and provide us. He doesn't want to hurt or punish us, like so many of the stereotypical things you hear about God, or people that talk about God. It's like, oh, well, God's just this, you know, overbearing God. And even for some aspects, you know, even the Israelites had this perception, you know, of God. And God is working towards changing that perception of, and we've read about how, you know, all through the law, this is God's process of, I want to draw close to you. I want to be near you, and I want you to be near to me. And that's what this is all about, is God's desire. We read in Matthew 6, 25 to 33, where Jesus teaches us not to worry, you know, that God wants to provide for us, and God will provide for us. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not much more, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. What a wonderful passage of Scripture where Jesus says, don't worry about these things. You're going to be provided for, which is what God is saying here. The Lord will bless you and keep you. He's going to care for you. John 10, 28 through 29 talks about God's protection. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Think about that. No one Not anyone, not anything can snatch us from the palm of God's hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. It's a powerful, powerful statement about God's protection over us. Verse 25, it's about the shining face of God, and I'm going to spend a lot of time. This is just an awesome thing. It says, make his face shine upon us, shine upon you and be gracious to you. His presence, his light, his glory, his mercy. When God's face shines upon us, it's this profound, profound expression of his favor, his presence, his blessing. It communicates more than just, you know, God's goodwill towards us. It signifies intimacy, approval, and just this delight that he has in us, his beloved. When you think about yourself as the beloved of God, he says, we are his beloved. That is just something to just to let that sink in. But, you know, when you think about the acceptance and approval, you know, we, you know, as people, we crave acceptance and we crave approval from people, don't we? From others. Kids look for it. You know, it always just, you know, whenever I go over to pick up my grandkids, the one just, you know, just immediately starts, like, you know, showing me stuff like this and that and everything, and just like all this stuff that I did and all these things. And it's like, you know, looking for my approval on things and acceptance. And it's just, you know, you give them that give them that little bit of love, and it's just like you can just see it in their eyes. And think about it, you know, when you're having a day, and we all have days, right? And someone just gives you a passing smile. It just changes things, doesn't it? It just changes the countenance on their face, just change something in us. And that's, you know, how much more when God shines upon us and God's face looks upon us. Think about when someone just, you know, you're just trying to keep to yourself. Tammy's the outgoing one in this partnership. So, you know, she's just, you know, she can, if she's in an elevator, she's going to have friends before she gets to the second floor. You know, me, I'm just kind of keeping to myself, you know, most of the time. And, you know, but a kind word, when someone releases a kind word to us, or when we release a kind word to someone, it changes the environment of things. And this is what God is talking about here. Is I'm shining on you, and this is my glory. And you need to pass that on to people. We need to pass that on, because there's such power in that, to change things. I remember, you know, a good friend of mine, I always used to harp on this idea, is that, you know, when we as followers of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, when we walk into a room, the environment should change. It should change because of God's glory that's within us. And I don't always feel like I have that. I'm not always feel like I'm exemplifying that glory, but it's there. You know, it's there. And we need to be intentional about that. You know, when God's face shines, it symbolizes his gracious acceptance. Just like when we, to little ones or to our spouse or to a friend, where we just say, man, you know, I just love this about you. Or just, you know, just a word, or just an expression, or just a smile. When we release that, you know, that God-given thing, it's powerful. You know, Psalm 67, 1 through 2 says, May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine us. There's another reflection of that. God's face shining, it brings illumination, both spiritually and emotionally. When you think about emotionally how that can change us or change someone, it's just powerful. God's glory and God's face and God's presence, it drives away confusion. It drives away things that are just not of His Spirit. It drives away darkness and despair. And God gives us that power, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we do that, when we bring that, reflect that, think about it as a reflection. God's glory is on us. Like when Moses was exposed to the glory of God, it was like this illumination that came off him. And we may not feel like that sometimes, but it is most certainly is that. And it brings light into situations is what it does. Psalm 89:15 says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord." Many places in the Old Testament, you get this idea that God's face was to be feared and unapproachable. And even God says that himself at times where, you can't look upon me. But here in this scripture, it's like a welcome thing. And he's saying, I'm blessing you with my face and my presence. God's shining face, here it says, I'm not distant. I'm near. I'm close to you. I'm not hidden, but I'm actively engaging with you and in your lives. Exodus 33:14 says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And what did Moses say? I'm not going anywhere without your presence. I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. Imagine how the disciples shining from that glory of the Holy Spirit. And then again in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, think about it as this reflection or this illumination of the light of God that we're to carry with us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God who said, let light shine out the darkness. Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light, the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I was trying to find it. I had written this song like decades ago about seeing the face of God, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I was, it was all about this idea of show me your face, show me this glory, let it just pour onto me. So to have God's face shine upon us, that means that we live in the glow of His love and guidance and protection and grace, and it's a. What he's trying to say here is this is a relational thing, not a transactional thing. So it's not this transaction of, hey, you do this and you're going to earn my acceptance or you're going to earn my favor. This is a relational thing that he's talking about, and it's all about the delight of God towards his children. We're his beloved, right? In Jesus, we don't just get a glimpse of God's shining face. We are invited to dwell in it. So think about that concept would have been so foreign to the Hebrews back then of God dwelling in them. They wouldn't have understood it that way. but we know that to be truth. And there was so much symbolism back then, you know, in the temple and in the sacrifices and all that sort of thing. But God, his spirit dwells in us. That's a wonderful little segment within this. So verse 26, God's nearness and peace. Turn his face toward you and give you peace, intimacy with God. This idea of shalom, you know, the peace, this peace or this shalom, it's not circumstantial, it's relational. Shalom, you know, is derived from the word, you know, shalom, which means wholeness, completeness, or fullness. It conveys this idea of holistic, you know, wellness. When we think of it, you think of it how it's used in, you know, in conversation, like shalom, you know, hello and goodbye and, you know, and peace and all this kind of stuff. But it's so much deeper than that. In the Hebrew language, it's such an all-encompassing, holistic word, and that's what God is saying here, you know, give you the shalom. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me and I will give you rest. Verse 27, God's name on his people. So I will put my name on them. Think about that for a second. This idea of identity, you know, our identity, ownership. He owns us, bought and paid for us, and this blessing. You know, Jesus, you know, comes to give us a new name and to restore our identity as God's children. And this is a very, very rich little piece of this, but think about sonship and think about inheritance. Things that we don't really, it's not something common in our culture and in our language that we talk about. You know, we talk about, you know, oftentimes we'll think about, you know, talk about inheritance, you know, when it comes to wealth. You know, okay, I'm going to get this great inheritance, you know, coming. It's not what this is talking about here. When you think about the wealth of God, it's not a financial wealth. It can be a financial blessing, you know, at times, but the inheritance of God is this, again, this all-encompassing, you know, when you think back, you know, in the days of, you know, kings and monarchs and all this kind of things, the name was everything. If you didn't have the name, you were a nobody. If you weren't part of that royal family lineage, if you didn't have all of that, you were nothing. And God is saying so much more here, that you are a son and a daughter of the living God, of the creator of all things, creator of the universe, creator of the world. So that's a really, really powerful thing to think about, is sonship. And, you know, and so often our mentality, you know, as believers is, you know, we just get, you know, stuck in this, you know, this hamster wheel of, you know, when I do good, I'm accepted. When I have a good day, my Father likes me so much more. And it's just not how God looks at us. It's not at all how God looks at us. Doesn't matter what kind of day you're having, you're his beloved, no matter what. And this is all about this sonship. We can't walk away from the sonship thing. I mean, we're in it, and God has called us to it. John 17, 11 through 12, Jesus prays that the Father would protect them by the power of your name. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Revelations 3:12. God will write his name on those who overcome. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. Never again they will leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Wow. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful demonstration of who we are, right? And we need to start looking at ourselves like that. Consistently looking at ourselves like that. Not just, hey, you know, came to church a couple times this week, had some great worship, good prayer time, and, you know, things are great, you know. We have a new name, and we are inscribed in the hand of God. That's powerful. You know, when I read this passage, you know, it's kind of, you know, it was entitled The Blessing and Belonging, but, you know, it's not just about receiving the blessing. It's about living it. It's about, again, letting it reflect off of us. It's about sharing that with others. This blessing is a promise in Christ, and it has to become a daily reality for us.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.